We stuff our faces with chips, dips, beer, even candy bars. We've got to have the biggest TV and the fastest car. Men, why is it that we can't seem to get enough? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal. We tackle the tough issues that men think about but don't talk about that much. We're doing a series on the deadly sins and the virtues that can help overcome them. This time, gluttony on Crossing the Goal. As we continue our series on the seven deadly sins and the virtues that help us to overcome them, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team as we kick off our show on gluttony. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries. Curtis Martin with Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and our coach, Danny Abramowitz, former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach. And as we talk about gluttony this time, Curtis, would you say gluttony is maybe too much of a good thing?
There you go.
Maybe, Danny, maybe you ought to pick it up.
That's why we tell you on this show, do as I say, not as I do. You know, Jesus tells us that taught us that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we think of gluttony, guys, a lot of times we think of overeating. We have to deal with that element of it.
Sure.
But there's more to it. You know, you've got overeating is one. Then you start talking about business, you know, how much we're involved with business. And you start talking about the booze. Maybe you got booze, you overdo it in booze. You overdo it in computers and technology and all that. So it's just not one area. It's a lot of different things.
You know, you ask the question, why is gluttony considered a deadly sin? And, you know, the St. Thomas Aquinas said, you know, in kind of form of the matter that is food isn't the problem as much as what these kinds of things can lead you to. Too much booze, too much food, too much of a good thing. And what happens is we become attached to that thing and we say, look, I can't be happy without it. I can't live without it. Right. I got to have it more and more and more. And really what it is it's a form of idolatry at a certain point. That's why it's so deadly.
No, the object for gluttony is things we need.
Right.
And so it's not so much an issue of no, it's learning to say enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, it shows itself in different ways. It can be I eat too much, or it could be I just take too big of bites, you know. Or no, we're supposed to be, this is where we learn measure and balance in what we're doing. And the challenge is when we are experiencing temptations to gluttony, these created goods are beginning to control our lives.
Yeah. How was the candy bar, by the way?
Really good.
Yeah, can I have half of that?
Right. Just like the things we need.
Right. You know, another thing is, right. But, you know, it's like it's not a bad thing. See, that's what we're not over
thing.
Here, right. We're not telling people. See how much we got done here? No. When we're, it's not like to do this or do that's a bad thing. But you're talking about when we overdo, we take it to the extreme. You know, the people involved, you look at texting now has gone crazy. We can just go berserk. You see people with cell phones or texting in the car driving. I mean, this stuff is dangerous for ourselves, just like overeating, you know, fast food, so everything. We don't exercise along with it. So this is the things that gluttony leads to other, you know, overdoing it.
Quick test for gluttony. If you think you might have something that you might be attached to, give it up. And if you can't give it up, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And the issue is, I think it's a great practice for us to be routinely, whatever it is. You know, I have an attachment to this Bible in some ways, and so you can be attached to a really good thing. And so, can you, if it's coffee, can you go a few days without coffee? Lent's a great time to go after issues that might be getting a hold of you. Just say, I want to live freedom. And these created things are good, but they're sticky. They stick to us.
Right.
Yeah, right. I've seen a lot of guys give up stuff like booze for Lent. Easter Sunday, they're crocked or something.
Yeah,
all over the place.
Yeah.
No. They could right back up in the big bag.
Exactly.
That's right. You're trying to get back to where you're supposed to be.
You know, it's interesting as you guys are talking. You know, we're made to be fanatical for one thing. What can we never get too much of?
God himself,
completely sold out. And he's going to fill us to the full, overflowing. I mean, Christ is just overflowing with the love of the Father, and it's going to fill us and fill our hearts, and that's what it's made for. Actually, that's one of the reasons we run after things that are less than ourselves, because we're hungering for something, and they never satisfy. That's why we keep eating them.
But we can see them, we can taste them, we can touch them, whereas God, it takes faith to be able to reach out to him.
Yeah.
And it's hard because he's invisible, and it's going to be later before we're really going to possess him.
Right.
So it takes faith to overcome gluttony.
Right.
And we'll take a look at the game plan that you guys to have overcome gluttony. It's coming up next here on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout.
All right, glutton.
I heard you guys are gluttons.
With all the technology, obviously, you know, the new PlayStations, Xboxes, the new Vizio TVs that you see every day, you always want the new best thing. And something that, you know, I do try to practice is, you know, limitation, you know, of, you know, actually on, for example, DirecTV, you know, set it for, you know, I can only watch TV for so long. It's just, you know, awesome things out there, you know, but, you know, set a calendar. All right, I have to do this, this, and this, and, you know, I have to pray. You know, praying should be a part of my everyday life. You know, I don't need to watch a full game at halftime. Let's sit down and pray or talk about how Mass was today or, you know, just, you know, so limitation, I think, is big for, you know, for things like that.
Welcome back, friends. We're talking about gluttony, one of the seven deadly sins. Let's answer the question again, Curtis. What is gluttony?
I think in its simplest definition, it's an inordinate desire for a created good. In other words, you can actually desire created goods a great deal as long as it's in proportion. Let's say that I haven't had anything to eat for a week. I can have a tremendous desire for food because I need that food to feed my body. But if I still have a desire for food after I've already had a meal, then I have an inordinate desire. And you can apply it to any one of the created desires we have.
And then that inordinate desire becomes deadly when we become so attached to it that we feel like we can't be happy without it. We can't live without it. Our thought life, our heart is consumed by it. And then here we are, creatures created in God's image and likeness, we become addicted to something less than ourselves, enslaved to something less than ourselves, which is really a form of idolatry.
These created goods are given to us by God to serve us. But the temptation is to invert that and become the servants of those things. Yeah. And once we become a servant of those things, rather than a servant of God, we're then following down a path that will lead to spiritual death.
You know, and then you say, what's the antidote to it? We've been talking each week about what's the deadly sin and what's the antidote to it here. And here we talk about moderation. Now, moderation sounds so moderate. I mean, you know what I mean?
It just not too sounds, radical.
Right. It just sounds boring. It sounds uninteresting. And people are a little bit afraid of this. And you think about moderation. How can moderation be fun? If I'm going to go the path that you're talking about, you're going to ruin my weekend, you're going to take the zest out of life and the excitement and the rest of it, and people feel like, how can I possibly be happy living in moderation?
No, it's the paradox that you can actually live a radical moderation, that you can actually sit back and say, I am totally committed to liberating myself from created goods. I'm going to use them, but I'm going to use them, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in order to train myself. Yeah. And so I'm austere with myself. Not all the times. We can have a feast day within the church's year, and we should feast and enjoy things. But we also have to have a certain austerity, whatever it might be. And so one of the ones that I've dealt with is I can be gluttonous with regards to sleep. And really want to sleep in. And to be able to just push myself, you know, get up a little earlier. There's a practice called the heroic moment in which the alarm goes off and you've got to make the decision. Snooze button, feet on the floor. Snooze button, feet on the floor. Get your feet on the floor. And to be able to choose that, even though it hurts for a second, but to be able to do that. Same thing with food. Maybe you moderate the amount of salt, whatever it is. But to get radical about looking in your life and saying, what might I be attached to? And I'm going to go after it. I'm going to be ready and free to test myself in these areas. How? By giving that up temporarily and seeing what happens. Because as the psalmist says, he talks about the soul's response to God. He says, as the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. I can tell you one thing, Peter. Good Friday, you know, about lunchtime, I am wanting to eat something. And I'm thinking, God, my body is hungering for lunch in a way that it doesn't hunger all the time for lunch. But it really is today because I said I wasn't going to eat. Do I hunger for you the way I'd like to have lunch right now?
At the end of the day, for me, when you think about moderation is attractive if God exists. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If it's true. If the king, if I'm created by God and I'm made for God and I can know God and that it is all true, that there's a hole in me that can only be filled by God. Because literally, gluttony is this this passion to fill the existential emptiness that we feel inside ourselves. We literally stuff our mouths and stuff our bodies many times because we feel so empty inside.
What do they call snacks? They call it a comfort food.
Right, exactly.
And
we become addicted to it because we don't want the bad feeling of emptiness. So we keep filling ourselves in order to experience that little satisfaction that we have that medicates this feeling inside. And that feeling is a good thing because it reminds us what we're really made for. We're made for God. We're literally made to be filled up by God. I mean, right. That's really what the scripture tells us. And it makes sense because God exists. Now, we're living in a society that more and more is pushing God to the margins of life. And the further God gets pushed away, and the more that unbelief and secularism takes hold of our minds and hearts, people say, what's the purpose of life? I don't know, but I'm going for the gusto. I'm living for pleasure. I'm going to fill myself every way I can, whether it's sexually, whether it's drink or whatever. You know, I was just thinking of the migration that happens every spring with college students down to the to spring break. You know, how many people think, well, look, I can't be happy unless I get smashed. You know, binge drinking and partying and stuff like moderation
just doesn't.
Exactly.
Just gone.
All of that stuff. Happiness means I got to release it all and I got to pursue pleasure. Well, if God doesn't exist, great. Eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. But God does exist.
Absolutely. And just a moment, don't let your kids go on a spring break trip like that. I mean, you got to exercise a little authority there. It's completely out of control.
Yeah.
And part of it is because our culture's out of the control to start with. And so then we have these spring breaks and we have to go to the whole next level. It's just amazing. And what we need to do is step back and say, actually, we're not made to be mastered by this world, but rather to step into the footsteps of our Lord who said, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
That's the power of overcoming gluttony with the power of moderation. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter, for the good game plan. Coach, you know from your NFL days, there's nothing moderate about the red zone. You ready to go down there?
Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeehaw. The idea of wanting, I guess, is the first thing that leads me into a sin. Once I start wanting something, the next thing I know, I'm out doing bad things trying to get it.
We're in the red zone here on Crossing the Goal, talking this time about gluttony, the inordinate desire for more of just about everything. Danny, can you relate to that?
Oh, yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. You know, I think about this gluttony thing, but I think about it as excess cravings that I have in my own personal life. What causes all that? I can remember back when the kids were little, I was never satisfied with a little bowl of ice cream. You know, I had a big bowl of ice cream, and then I had my own stash in the freezer.
There you go.
The first kid to touch that ice cream's in trouble, you know, I'd kill. And then I'd come on and marry my wonderful wife, you know, and she's a good Italian cook, and homemade spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, we've had
you
it.
Talk
it's
about
the real
it.
Deal.
Oh, yeah, the excess there. But then, you know, even exercise when I was a kid, and even as I grew older, exercise like crazy, in excess sometimes almost. And then it finally caught up to me, the booze part. I went in excess, and it was bigger than me. I wasn't satisfied with a couple. There was more and more and more. And I think that's what happened to us in life is, we start off and then the lack of self-control a lot of times then gets out of control.
And then you slowly build your life around this thing.
No.
And the center of gravity becomes this thing, which is you're focused on and thinking about. It occupies your time, your energy, your money, your relationships.
Yeah.
And really the Lord is meant to be the center of gravity in our life. And that's the place where we're going to find happiness. And, you know, you're here testifying you've gone from that center of gravity and you've changed it.
Yeah.
And what difference has it made in your life?
Oh, it's made all the difference in the world. All you have to do, though, if you want to stop gluttony, be like me, have a heart attack, and you don't have to worry about it.
Take it all away.
Yeah, right.
The secret to recovery from any kind of addiction is a spiritual, and you talked about, you know, we've got to fill that with God, so it's a spiritual solution.
But you're right now, because I am aware of it more now.
Yeah.
Before, I just did it and never thought about it. Now, is this right? You know, is I'm not the greatest faster in the world. You know, we'll sure. maybe get into some of that. But I think self-control kicks in with the help of the Lord in my life, that I want to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. I try to stay in shape for, you know, for the Lord, for my wife, for my kids, mm-hmm. to go out here and show people that Christians, you know, you can be in a condition that has nothing to mm-hmm. do with wimpy or anything like that. I think we're mm-hmm. not wimpy guys, but when you go this excess thing on your own versus, you know, when the Lord comes into your life and changes you, and then you got a little self-control in your life.
Yeah, right.
Right. Or lack of self-control sometimes, right, guys?
No, it's tough. You talk about those bad habits. I remember reading a book years ago, right when I first became a Christian, and every example it gave. Yeah, I had just redone a sports car, or a convertible sports car, and I get the chapter say, are you addicted to excessive speed? Oh, man, I just love getting that car out on the highway, and I'm thinking, oh, I gotta live in moderation there. And then it was ice cream with another one, yeah. and it was just like, I must have thrown that book across the room 3 or 4 times because it would just pierce me. Because I just had all these attachments. And it's amazing when you start to look into your life and just test it. You know, what are those attachments? Mm-hmm. I love salt. And I love, you guys would tease me about this when we eat together.
I know.
And I remember,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Right.
But
he takes the cover right off and just
pour it right in. I put it in a shaker, just pour it right out of the thing. Yeah. But I remember when we were out with you and you picked up a salt shaker, looked at it and said, I miss you, man.
Yeah.
We have those attachments and we've got to break them, because anything that we bring into our life will gravitate towards the center. And as you said, Peter, God has a spot reserved for himself at the center of our lives. And if we place anything on that throne other than him, that's idolatry.
Yeah, no, I think we need to keep two things in mind too. You know, the Lord, these created goods, as you were saying earlier, they're good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with loving a good pasta meal. There's nothing wrong with using salt. There's nothing wrong, so you don't, not trying to make it sound like enjoying these things, that there's a problem with, because there isn't.
And
it's just, the church just says, look, all things in moderation. And the church is wise. It said in the scripture, essentially, it says, look, if you lose the moderation, you start to serve it and you forget about your end, because the end you're created for is really ecstatic pleasure. It's God himself filling you up, and no other substitute's going to satisfy you. So the church and the scripture, they're concerned that we're going to end up selling out for something that's going to leave us empty in the end. And that's the purpose of moderation, so you can be filled up with something that'll blow your mind, which is the life of God.
It wounds our freedom. Finally, these idols make us slaves, and then we're not free. And when God taps you and says, I want you to do something great. I mean, think about, I love, always use the example of David and Goliath. Here's this young guy, and all of a sudden it's his moment. And is he ready to stand up at his moment on the stage and defeat the giant or not? And if we read back in the scriptures, we see David, when he was a young boy, was a heroic shepherd who defended his sheep against lions and bears. He was a man after God's own heart as a boy, so that when it was his time, he was ready. And are we going to be ready when God taps us and says, come on, let's go, it's your time.
And so you got to practice moderation. It's not going to just come to you. You got to practice it. He talked about how fasting sometimes can be a kind of a training.
Yeah, it is. I mean, fasting, I think, is a long-standing tradition in the church, in scripture, to discipline, kind of gain self-mastery over your life. But we fast to say no to things, to make room for something positive. That is, to make room for the Lord. And when you fast, it's a little bit of a wrestling match, because you're used to just, for me, I'm used to responding to my cravings. You know, and a lot of noise inside me and inside my body. I want this, I want that. When you start to fast, it's a battle. And what ends up happening is you start subduing the drives within your life a little bit.
Right.
And then it starts calming you down inside a little bit. You start getting a little more quiet inside, and then you're making room for the Lord.
Right.
And he starts to touch you on a deeper level.
And I think, you know, you got to change your habit patterns. You know, I think that's what helps you out in dealing with excess of anything.
Sure.
Take, for instance, the computers and the iPods, all that stuff's all great, but what has been sacrificed because of that? The communication skills of young people.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, exercise. How many people do you see at the playground, younger people exercising or playing at the ballpark? They're on the computers and all that stuff, or TV or whatever. I think we go excess in an area. I even hear of many schools taking PE out of the curriculum.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. And then we wonder why we're obese. I see all the reports in the nation, you know, our youth are obese. Well, there's a reason for that. We're not exercising.
Yeah. Instead of playing football, we're playing fantasy football. There's guys that spend 6 hours every Sunday with fantasy football. Yeah.
No, I'll tease my guys. And they're in great shape, my sons are, and they play sports, stuff like that. But I always tease them. I said, you guys are prepared. If ever comes up that there's a need for a skill of doing this, we're in great shape. You guys have great thumbs.
Going to conquer the world.
Quick thumbs. Exactly. Quick thumbs.
I'm not sure what that is good for. I guess maybe if you want to be a really good hitchhiker or something like that. But, I mean, to recognize that, because we do. We want to be good at what we were made to do. And this is all about freedom. So that we're free to act.
Right.
And that's what we're after, because the freedom is a great thing. Because finally, when it comes time to inviting God in the center of your lives, God is a gentleman. He will respond to the free invitation. Sure, when we call out in a crisis, He'll hear us and respond. But to really come into the lordship of our lives, He wants a free request, not one that's coerced, saying, God, I really want you here.
And I think what we're talking about here too is balance in our life.
Sure.
You know, not excess in one area, balance.
Yep.
You know, the social part, the mental part of our life, the physical part, and the spiritual. What I find a lot of times is the spiritual in most men's life is very lacking.
Out of balance. Sure.
Out of balance here. Mm.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. Yeah. He's got to be, the scales have to be balanced. And men, you just got to bring this thing back and balance your life. Bring it back in with a prayer life. Start that way. And you start being aware of this and bringing the Lord. And you hear us talk on the show a lot about the Lord in our life.
And
because He is very important in our life. He's number one in our life. And I think that gives us a chance to balance our life when He is number one.
And you begin to realize, you know, the scriptures say, I've not given you a spirit of timidity.
Yes.
Or fear, but I've really given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. And that's something that we're learning, all of us are learning to yield to first of all, believe in, you know, to believe that do I really have that spirit in me? Has Jesus really given me a spirit of self-control? Has He given me a power to live a different way of life?
Right.
And He really has. And I think that's partly why we came together on this show in the first place, to say He really has made a gigantic difference in our life. And
absolutely.
This is not pie in the sky. This stuff is real. And if you yield to the Spirit more in your life and you take advantage of all the church gives us, you will gradually change and you'll come into the grace and the blessing the Lord has for you.
He's in our life, but we want to share it with people out there.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, we have joy in our life. We're not in excess of anything except Curtis Eaton's too much.
That's a really good sticker bar.
That was great. All right, we're going to have the last word on gluttony, this inordinate desire for more, coming up as we reach the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
Good, man.
Is it St. Paul said he knows how to live whether he's rich or poor? And I tease God and say, oh, Lord, I think I got the poverty down. I wouldn't mind trying the other end. But, you know, that's between him and me. We joke about that.
We're in the end zone now, wrapping up our show on gluttony, and I'm going to borrow from the title of your book, Curtis, Made for More. Men, we're made for more, not necessarily to eat more or to drink more or to have more, but to be more. And I just want to encourage all of us to seek the spirit of self-control so we can become the man that God wants us to be. Peter?
Thanks, Brian. You know, each one of us, brothers, we want to be happy. That's what moves us to do, make the decisions we make. We want to be happy. We want to be content. And I was thinking of the words of St. Paul. Want to make his words our words today. He says, I've learned the secret of contentment. In him who's the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. And that's the same word that the Lord wants you to be able to say for your own life, and to know it as a reality that no matter what you're facing, the Lord can help you, give you the strength you need.
We were talking about the deadly sins, and this is, gluttony is a tremendous challenge for us because it goes right after, kind of creeps into our life. But the battle is not, as we said earlier, to try harder. The battle is for us to yield to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to build in our lives. This is from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. God wants to send His Holy Spirit into your life to root these temptations out of our lives and set you free so that you can be the man you want to be, so that you can experience being made for more, which is the desire that God has for each one of us.
Men, I see you guys sitting out there listening to the shows, listening to what we say, but here's what I want you to do. Get a piece of paper and a pencil right now. Start writing things down. You're not going to remember all this. Take the things that maybe in your life are excess. Start moving, writing them down. Now, what am I going to do? What's my goal to change this? Start doing this on a daily basis. Start reflecting on it.
That's why he's our coach. Great tip, Coach. Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, our team on Crossing the Goal. Thanks for watching. We'll continue our series on the deadly sins next time here on Crossing the Goal.
Little smile.